Hello everybody, I'm back with another video, and I want to continue the series defending the new IFB in my church, Faithful Word Baptist Church, against the attacks by many people. And today I want to talk about the doctrine of the Trinity. And based on the title of this video and this introduction, you might be thinking, well, the Trinity is something that, you know, pretty much everybody who claims to be a Christian believes in, with the exception of a few cults like the Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, and a few other small cults that aren't really worthy of mentioning. So 98% of Christians out there believe in the Trinity, right? There's a few people who don't believe that Jesus is God at all. And then there's like the oneness Pentecostals who believe that Jesus is the Father and the Holy Spirit, that God's just one person. But most Christians out there, including 99% of Baptists, believe in the Trinity. They believe that there's only one God and God exists as three different persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So in this video, I want to talk about a particular aspect of the Trinity, because there are some people out there who have spoken against my pastor, Pastor Anderson, and other pastors in the new IFB, like Pastor Jonathan Shelley, because they've said in sermons before that God the Father has a body that is different from the body of Jesus Christ, and also that Jesus Christ submits himself to God the Father, and just a few aspects of the Trinity that a lot of people don't agree with. Right, there's this clown on the internet called John the Baptist. That's G-I-A-N, like an Italian form of John. And he makes videos where he's just constantly attacking the new IFB and saying we believe in this like tritheism and all that kind of stuff, and accusing us of not really believing in the Trinity. And he gets this based on all these Catholic creeds of the Nicene Creed and the Chalcedonian Creed and all these councils, and saying, oh, well, they're teaching this doctrine and that doctrine that so-and-so Catholic Orthodox council condemned in whatever year. It's like, who cares what they say? What matters is what the Bible says. So I'm going to be explaining these concepts from the Bible today again, that, again, the Bible does teach that, yes, God the Father has a body. Now, this John the Baptist guy, he says, well, that's what the Mormons believe, so you're teaching Mormonism. This is false, because what the Mormons believe is that God has a body of flesh and bones, okay? That is not true. The Bible does not teach that God has a body of flesh and bones, that he has a physical body. But as I'll show you in this video from the scriptures, God has a face, and he has hands, and he has feet, and he has a body, which, you know, is a spiritual body. So in Colossians chapter 2, verse 8 to 9, obviously we know that Jesus Christ has a body, you know, a body of flesh and bones when he actually was on this earth and after he rose from the dead, right? The Bible says in Colossians chapter 2, verses 8 to 9, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, right? So obviously we know that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, meaning God came down from heaven and took on a human body. So that's Jesus Christ, right? God the Son, he is both man and God, and he has a physical body like you and I, right? That's obviously something that, you know, 99% of people would agree on. But then the Bible also tells us about God the Father and what God the Father is like. It says in Exodus chapter 33, verses 19 to 23, and he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of a rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. So according to the Bible, God the Father has a face and he has hands. So that means he has a body. That's what a body is. Exodus chapter 34, verse 5, it talks about when this actually happens. It says, and the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. Now you might be asking, well, how do we know that this is talking about God the Father? Because only God the Father cannot be seen according to the Bible. It never says that Jesus Christ cannot be seen, because there's many examples in the Old Testament where God appears to man and man is able to see the face of God. This is only because that appearance of God is Jesus Christ. So God the Father, his face cannot be looked on, but Jesus Christ, his face can be looked on. So an example is even earlier in Exodus chapter 33, where it says, and the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, and his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. So the Bible tells us that Moses actually spoke face to face with God. And then even earlier in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 24, verses 9 to 10, it says, "Then went up Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of a sapphire stone, and as it were, the body of heaven in his clearness," right? So the Bible tells us that the 70 elders of Israel, plus Moses, Nadab, Abihu, and Aaron, they all saw the God of Israel, right? And Moses spoke to God face to face, right? But then later in that same chapter where it says Moses spoke to God face to face, God says, "Thou canst not see my face and live." This isn't a contradiction. This is just showing us the difference between the Father and the Son, right? That the Father cannot be seen, but the Son can be seen. So it says in the New Testament concerning God the Father, in John 1 verse 18, "No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." 1 Timothy chapter 6 verses 15 to 16 teaches this also, where it says, "In which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, who no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen." Now we know that this is talking about God the Father because of the fact that Jesus Christ obviously has been seen and can be seen. And obviously he was on this earth 2,000 years ago. People saw him even after he rose from the dead and he was glorified. He was still seen both by people, after his resurrection, but then also by the Apostle Paul on his road to Damascus, and by the Apostle John when he wrote the book of Revelation, when Jesus appeared to him, right? So people saw Jesus during his ministry on this earth and after his resurrection. And the Bible says that when he comes back, it says, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him." So obviously Jesus Christ has been seen and can be seen. So who is this talking about? It's talking about God the Father, right? So in Exodus chapter 33, when he says, "Thou canst not see my face and live," right? Who is speaking? It's God the Father, right? But what does this show us? It shows us that God the Father has a face. And also he has hands, because he says, "I'm going to cover the rock with my hand so that you can't see me. And then I'm going to take away my hand. You're going to look on my back parts," right? And then in the next chapter, the Lord descends and it says he stood with him there. And then that's when Moses hides in the rock and God passes by and he only sees his back parts, right? Which shows us that God the Father has a body, because it talks about him standing. It talks about him having a face. It talks about him having a hand. He's not just some like force that just exists out there like some people think, right? That's what people have, this idea of God, that he's just like some, I don't know what, some kind of energy or something. I don't know what people think God is, but God is a person according to the Bible, meaning he has a body, right? And not only this, but the Bible even says that the Holy Spirit can have a body as well. Now, I don't believe that the Holy Spirit is always in a body, but the Bible does talk about the Holy Spirit descending upon Jesus in a bodily form, right? In Luke chapter 3, verse 22, "And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased," right? So again, the Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit descended in a bodily shape, right? But people for some reason don't like this doctrine, and they accuse us of believing in three different gods just because we believe that God has multiple bodies. Well, the Father is not the Son, and the Son is not the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is not Jesus, meaning they don't all just live in one body. That would be one person, not three persons, right? But they're still the same God, according to the Bible, because there is only one God, right? Now, the common argument against this, people believing that God is incorporeal, or meaning without a body, is this verse, a single verse in John chapter 4, where Jesus said God is a spirit, and they just assume that spirit means that he doesn't have a body. But I'm going to show you why that's wrong. John chapter 4, verse 24, Jesus said, "God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." So this John the Baptist guy I mentioned, who constantly makes videos attacking the new IFB, he said in his videos, he keeps bringing this verse up, and he keeps saying, God is a spirit. That means he doesn't have a body. Well, according to what definition of a spirit, right? Well, according to Jesus, he said, "A spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me to have," right? So God the Father does not have a body of flesh and bones. God the Father does not have a physical body like you and me. Obviously, he was not made man like Jesus was made man. But does that mean that he doesn't have a body? No, because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 44, it is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. So God having a body does not mean that God is not a spirit, because the Bible says there's such thing as a spiritual body, right? We're not saying he has a natural body. Obviously, God the Father is not a man. God the Father never was a man, like the Mormons teach. God the Father does not have a body of flesh and bones, but the Bible says he has a face, he has hands, he has feet, he stood with Moses, he was actually physically there. Right? God the Father is not just some magical force that just exists out there. God the Father is a real person who has a body like Jesus Christ. That's why the Bible says he's the image of the invisible God, right? Now, some people will kind of misinterpret what it means for God to be invisible, because they think that, you know, they have their mind corrupted with all this Hollywood junk out there where they just think invisible just means like he's standing right in front of you and just can't see him. No, according to the Bible, the reason why God cannot be seen is because if you look upon him, you die. That doesn't mean that he's not actually there. It's not like the air or the wind where, you know, the wind is there, but you can't see it. It's like no color. That's not what it means when it says invisible. Okay. When the Bible says that God cannot be seen, right, or that God has not been seen, that doesn't mean that God is just not there, that it's just like he just doesn't have any color or any form to him. That's not what it says at all. It just says that if you look on his face, then you'll die. That's what it says in Exodus chapter 33. So that implies that he has a face to look upon. He's not just invisible, like in the sense of Hollywood invisible. He's invisible, meaning you can't look at him, you can't view him, or otherwise you'll die. Right? That's what it means when it says he's invisible, right? He dwells in the light which no man can approach unto, because if you approach on it, you die, right? But he still has hands, he has a face, he has a body that he dwells in, right? Not a natural body, not a body of flesh and bones, but a spiritual body, right? And the Holy Ghost, according to the Bible, descended in bodily shape, right? Now, this is also something that it's kind of weird that people think that God having a body, or God the Father having a body, contradicts him being a spirit, because of the fact that the Bible talks about angels also as being spirits, and yet it tells us many times when angels appear in the Bible, it tells us that they look like men, right? For example, in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 13 to 14, but to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? So that's what angels are. They're ministering spirits, right? So the Bible says God is a spirit. The Bible also says angels are spirits, right? And it says in Revelation chapter 10, verses 1 to 2, and I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth. And this is just one of many examples in the Bible where it talks about angels who have bodies, right? Another example is Revelation chapter 19, right? After God appears to Abraham in Genesis chapter 18, right? There's three men who appeared to him. One of them is Jesus Christ, right? Before his incarnation. And the other two are angels. Then the Lord stands with Abraham, and Abraham, you know, pleads with him about destroying the city at the end of chapter 18. Then in chapter 19, these two men who were with Jesus Christ, they left and they went down in the city, and to Lot and to the inhabitants of Sodom, they just seemed as ordinary men. But according to the Bible, they're angels, right? So these people who were with Lot, they were angels, yet they were able to actually eat and sleep and walk through a door and be touched by other people. And I mean, it talks about them like closing the door and all this kind of stuff. So the angels have bodies. They're actually physically there. That doesn't mean that they're just like invisible, like in the sense of Hollywood invisible, like I said before. Them being a spirit doesn't mean that they're not actually like there and they don't have a body and a face. So in the same way, why would God being a spirit mean that God is just like out there, like he doesn't have a body, whatever that means, right? And they'll, again, try to use verses out of context, like verses about God not being contained by, you know, a house made with hands, things like that. But again, the Bible tells us that God's spirit is everywhere, right? That the Holy Spirit If you ascend up into heaven, he's there. If you go down into hell, he's there. But the Bible also says it's about Jesus Christ as well, right? He said, the Son of Man, which is in heaven. I think I mentioned that in the last video, right? Even when he was on this earth, Jesus obviously had a body. I mean, that's something that I think everybody agrees with maybe a few exceptions, some extremely weird heretics out there who probably deny that. But pretty much everybody today believes that Jesus has a body, which he does. And yet he still said, the Son of Man, which is in heaven. So God having a body does not contradict God being omnipresent, right? So God the Father having a body does not mean that that contradicts God not being able to dwell in a house made with hands, or heaven in heavens. The heaven of heavens cannot contain him, as the Bible says, right? The Bible tells us he has a face, he has hands. He was actually there with Moses, interacting with Moses, right? Not only this, but the Bible also teaches that in the last days, after the great white throne judgment, when the new heaven and new earth come, we will be able to see God the Father. So again, the reason why somebody can't look on God the Father, as I showed you from these verses, is because if you do, you die. It's not that he's just invisible, like colorless, like not actually physically present. It's just that if you look at him, you die, right? But here's the thing. In the new heaven, the new earth, there is no such thing as death. So here's what the Bible says in Revelation chapter 22, verses 3 to 5. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. Now, it mentions two individuals in this verse, right? It says the throne of God and of the Lamb, right? So those are two people, right? The Father and Jesus Christ, the Lamb, right? Now, why, if it's talking about Jesus, would it mention this looking on his face and his name being in their foreheads when that's already a thing before the new heaven and the new earth, right? It's not a special thing to look on the face of the Lamb, because at this point, Jesus Christ had already been ruling and reigning on the earth for over 1,000 years. And the saints ruled with him, right? So Jesus Christ already set his kingdom up on the earth. He already returned. Every eye, according to the Bible, saw him at his second coming. And then Jesus was on this earth ruling and reigning for 1,000 years, right? So people already saw his face. So why does it say they shall see his face and his name shall be in their foreheads? Who is the him? Who is the his face? It's talking about God the Father, right? Because again, why would it be talking about the Lamb if the Lamb was already seen? So I believe that in the new heaven and the new earth, we will be able to look at the face of God the Father. Now, we can't look at him now, because if we did, we die, as we saw in other scriptures. But according to the Bible, in the new heaven and the new earth, God's throne will be on this earth, and we will be able to look at him, and we will be able to see his face, right? The reason why it mentions this is because it's a special thing to see God the Father, because that's not something that's ordinary, right? So all this to say that this doctrine that, you know, only Jesus has a body, and then God being a spirit means that the Father isn't actually present anywhere. He doesn't have a body. He doesn't have a face. This is unbiblical. Okay. Again, Jesus is the express image of the Father's person, right? So when the Bible describes Jesus Christ in his glorified form, such as in the book of Daniel, where it talks about the Ancient of Days, I believe that is Jesus Christ. Where he says his head and his hairs were white like wool, his face shining as the sun. Talks about this in Revelation as well, and it describes what God looks like, right? And also in the book of Ezekiel, I believe the person sitting in the throne in Ezekiel chapter 1, that's again Jesus Christ, right? This person that the Old Testament prophets see, and even the Apostle John sees in the book of Revelation, is Jesus Christ. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the express image of the Father's person. So what does the Father look like? He looks exactly like Jesus, because Jesus is the image, express image, meaning exactly the same as God the Father, right? They're two different persons, but Jesus Christ looks identical to God the Father. The only reason why we can't see God the Father is because, according to the Bible, if we look at him, we die, right? That is the reason why the Bible says he cannot be seen and he's invisible, not because he's not actually there. He actually has a body, right? So I don't know why people argue with this. This is just clearly in the Bible, right? And it maybe if you change the definition of what a body is, maybe, but we're not saying that, and you know, my church doesn't believe, and Pastor Anderson doesn't believe that God has a body of flesh and bones. which if you're accusing us of believing in Mormon doctrine, that's what we would believe. But we don't believe that. We don't believe that God the Father has a body of flesh and bones, because the Bible doesn't say that. But he still has a spiritual body. It is a body. It is just not a body like you and I. It is a little bit different, right? So another thing that people don't like is the fact that we say that Jesus is subordinate to the Father, right? Now, if we're talking about in terms of equality, like in essence of Jesus being divine, then it would be a heresy to say that Jesus is lesser than the Father in the sense of that Jesus is less God than the Father. That obviously is not true. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, they are all equally God, right? Jesus Christ is not any less God than the Father is God, or the Holy Spirit is God. They're all equally God, and they're all from everlasting. And so the Bible teaches that Jesus Christ is God Almighty. He is the Lord. He is omnipotent, all these things. But the Bible teaches that Jesus Christ submits himself to the Father, right? So despite him being equal with God the Father in sense of divinity, according to the Bible, he does submit himself to God the Father. But some people believe that Jesus Christ doesn't do that, or that he only did that in his earthly ministry, and that in the future, right now, he's not submitted as and subjected to God the Father. Now, let me show you some scriptures on this. In John chapter 14, verse 28, Jesus said, "You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come unto you, come again unto you. If you love me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I." Now, the only way for this to make sense is if he's talking about authority, right? Because again, there's other scriptures which point to the fact that Jesus Christ is God Almighty, that he has all power, that he is God in the flesh. So in terms of divinity, and we actually saw a scripture earlier, Colossians chapter 2, where it says that in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Fullness meaning entire, complete, right? Jesus is holy God, right? Holy with a W at the front. Obviously he is holy, right? Without a W, but what I mean is like entirely God or fully God, right? In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So that's obviously not what it's talking about. What it's talking about is authority, right? That he's saying the Father is greater than I, meaning God the Father is over him, right? Now, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it talks about the end times, and it talks about how Jesus Christ will be submitted to the Father. "Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death, for he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him." So what does verse 27 mean? It means that God the Father put all things under the foot of Jesus. So the exception then is that him that put all things under Jesus is above him, which is God the Father. And then it says in verse 28, "And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all." It just told us who put all things under him. That's God the Father. So according to the Bible, when Jesus Christ shall have put all enemies under his feet, then the Bible says that he himself will be subject unto him that put all things under him. So it sounds to me like Jesus Christ will be subject to God the Father, right? That just because they're equally God does not mean that the chain of command or authority is equal, that Jesus submits himself to the Father. And this is the same for Jesus Christ's earthly ministry as well. It says in Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 to 8, "Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God," showing us that Jesus is equal with God in the sense of his divinity, right? "But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." So the Bible teaches that when he came down from heaven, he became a servant and he became obedient unto God the Father, and he submitted himself to God the Father. Now, Jesus also says in Matthew 11, verse 27, "All things are delivered unto me of my Father," right? And similar wording to 1 Corinthians 15, right? That God the Father put all things under him, right? "And no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him," right? So there's other scriptures about this as well. I'm not going to read them for sake of time, but just where Jesus talks about how, you know, the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth. and the Son can do nothing of himself but what the Father doeth, or I'm paraphrasing, right? How he says, all power is given unto me, right? So it shows us that the authority, the power, the things that Jesus did, they were given to him of the Father, that he submits to the Father. And after he puts down the whole world under him, he says he will be subject to the Father as well. So I don't know why people are think that this doctrine, which they would call subordinationism, is heresy, which, I mean, the Bible literally says he's subject, right? So it's like, yes, Jesus is subordinate to the Father, whether you like it or not. Now, another thing that people don't like is the idea that God has different wills. This is, again, something that this John the Baptist guy and some other people will to attack certain Christians for saying that the will of Jesus Christ is different from the will of the Father. And they'll say, well, God has one will, right? That the will of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost is just one. It's just the same. But this is not biblical again. The Bible says in Luke 22, verse 42, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. So according to Jesus Christ, his will is not the same as the Father, because how can he say not mine, but thine, if they have the same will? Matthew 26, verse 39, and he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Okay, so again, Jesus Christ, being a different person from God the Father, has a different will than God the Father. Now, that doesn't mean that Jesus doesn't submit himself to the will of God the Father. He obviously does, as we see in these verses. But this shows us that Jesus Christ's will is different from the will of God the Father. There's not just one will within God, right? The Father, Son, Holy Ghost. No, they're different persons with different minds and different wills and different bodies, as we proved from the Bible. So it's very clear. I don't know why people are so upset about these sort of things. Usually it's just because they get their doctrine from man and not from the Bible, right? All of our beliefs should come from the Word of God and not from the traditions of men. It doesn't matter what some Catholic council in the 4th century said. What they said was heresy. What's heresy is the person who doesn't believe what the Bible says. That's how we should determine heresy or not. And you can't show me from the Bible where it says that God doesn't have a body, or that God the Father has the same will as the Son, and all these things. This is just strifes about words that people have in councils throughout history and things like that. But these people are not even Christians. These people are, you know, pagan, Roman Catholic, work salvation, universal church kind of people who argued about these sort of things. So we're not going to get our doctrine about the Trinity from them. We should get our doctrine about the Trinity from the Bible. So the Trinity is biblical for those people who don't like it. The Bible does say there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one, meaning they're three different persons who are all equally one God, right? But again, people will say, well, you believe in three gods. No, we don't. There's only one God, Jesus Christ, and everything that makes Jesus Christ God is the same thing that makes God the Father God, and the same thing that makes the Holy Ghost God. They are equal in their divinity, in their omniscience, omnipotence, in their qualities of being just and holy and righteous and without sin. They're all from everlasting. They have no beginning, no end, etc. This is what makes God God, and these things are all attributes of every single person in the Trinity, right? But that doesn't mean that God the Father is like equivalent to the Son in his will and in his body and all these kinds of things that people will come up with. No. God the Father has a body and is different from the body of Jesus Christ. It is not a body of flesh and bones. It is not a physical, natural body. It is a spiritual body, but it is still a body. And the Holy Spirit descended in a bodily shape. That's what the Bible says. And Jesus Christ subjects himself to the Father. And they have different wills. And all things are given to Jesus by the Father. If you don't like it, too bad. We're right and you're wrong. So thank you for watching. God bless you and have a good day.